From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made in a far-off kingdom in crisis. The king and the queen have been hidden from public view for a while. The citizenry doesn't know where they are. Their 15-year-old daughter is working with palace staff to keep the king and the queen out of sight because, as it turns out, the king and the queen were hit by a curse and have turned into monsters. Literal, actual monsters, grunting and shouting and unable to communicate. Their daughter is horrified. She is desperate to get them back to what she remembers, a happy family. This is the basis of a new animated film called Spellbound, directed by Vicky Jensen, who has some huge hits under her belt, including Shrek and Shark Tale. But this story takes some unusual turns. I will offer a pretty big spoiler alert here, but although the themes, I think, are pretty clear from the start of this film. This is a story about a family finding its way through the separation and possible divorce of parents. The king and the queen aren't really cursed. They're trapped as monsters by their own out-of-control arguing and emotions. And their daughter is being forced to grow up too soon as she tries to play the role of therapist and caregiver for parents who can barely look at each other. The film includes some massive vocal talents and household names like Nicole Kidman, Javier Bardem, John Lithgow, Nathan Lane. That's just for starters. It's got great music and songs. It's got a Rochester connection. Dr. Joanne Pedro-Carroll is a clinical psychologist. She's well known to families who have navigated divorce and child raising. And Dr. Carroll consulted on the film to make sure that it struck the right notes in presenting themes that can be difficult and painful, especially for kids. This is a bold choice for an animated film. Writing for Parents.com, Laura Brown West Rosenthal calls it a perfect and necessarily challenging family watch. She writes, quote, "After watching the film with my daughter, we had an in-depth conversation where we identified some standout themes that families can discuss together. Sometimes kids are forced to grow up before they feel ready to. While kids don't always know the right things to say or make the perfect decisions, parents don't have all the answers either, and parents can act like monsters. And it's tough to communicate big emotions no matter your age," end quote. Common Sense Media gave the film a 4-star review, saying, quote, "There are positive messages about what it means to be a family, including non-traditional family structures," end quote. But some parent reviewers on the site were less generous. A parent named Emmanuel wrote, quote, "Imagine a movie encouraging divorce." And Joe wrote, quote, "The movie makes it seem like divorce is great and everything is fine and good. This could be so confusing for kids going through potential hurt and many big feelings. There are also a number of LGBTQ+ characters throughout the movie, including a gay couple living together. Depending on your family values, this may be something that you don't appreciate," end quote. I have to confess, I'm surprised that any adult would watch this movie for more than 10 minutes without realizing some of the big themes that are unfolding, including, yes, divorce and separation. I've been through that myself in my life. It's not easy. I don't see Spellbound presenting divorce as easy or a perfect solution, but each viewer will form their own opinions. And the film is fun, by the way. It's colorful. It's adventurous. It's really well done. We're going to talk about it this hour with our guests. In studio, Dr. Joanne Pedro-Carroll. Dr. Pedro-Carroll is a clinical psychologist, an author, a speaker, and a consultant on Spellbound. What a fun role. It is great. Make sure you, Joanne, get right on that microphone. Welcome back to the studio here.
Oh, Evan, I'm delighted to be back. And boy, did you really get that movie.
Well, we got a lot to talk about here. Vicky Jensen is the director of Spellbound on the line with us. Hello, Vicky.
Hello. It's wonderful to meet you.
Oh, it's great to have you on, an honor to have you on the program. Congratulations on the film. You know, I mean, I don't know where it is today. The film, I think, was technically released just over 2 months ago, and it had something, you know, like 3, 5, 8 million views. The ticker was running real fast on it. So I know it's been doing great. How do you feel about it, Vicky? How's it doing?
It's doing really well. It was in the top 10 for a couple of weeks in the U.S. and worldwide, number one with kids in something like 89 countries. And I think it's been doing really well on Netflix. It can be sometimes tricky to find. I often have trouble finding how to continue watching something that I have been watching. But if you just look for it, it's there.
Well, and Vicky, you know, as I mentioned, I think this is a very bold choice in storytelling. An unusual kind of development, and not in any way sort of a typical fairy tale. Although there's all the elements that people probably love in stories like this, the adventure, the mystical lands, the characters that are both funny and great singers. You got some great pipes in the movie. But can you take me through the decision to put this kind of a theme, parental separation and divorce, at the center of a story like this?
Honestly, the first decision came from Skydance. I was approached to tell this story. They presented to me an idea, an early draft of a script that a family going through this really difficult time and coming out on the other end, not as a traditional family, but actually having to be divided, having, you know, split. In fact, that was the original name of the story, was Split. Mm-hmm. I thought it was really brave because I have been through a divorce as well, although I don't have children. My husband has three daughters from a previous marriage, and I completely related to it and thought about it and realized, yeah, there is nothing out there. There is no animated family movie that tries to tackle this in an honest way. So I was on board with it right from the start. And, you know, telling the story that you finally see on screen, you know, took a long time of development. How to tell the story, where to pick it up, whether we pick it up after they've already split and she's maybe going back and forth between two kingdoms, or before they split and during that really difficult time on a kid when life is rough at home. And ultimately, we decided to start the story earlier there.
Well, and we're going to talk to in a moment how Dr. Pedro Carroll got involved. I can't wait to hear about this because it's not often that, you know, my Rochesterian guests are consulting with Hollywood on films, and we're going to talk about that coming up here. I want to acknowledge something, or at least ask you, Vicki, about doing the work in a time when everything feels like it inevitably becomes part of a culture war or politicized. And this is not going to be an overtly political conversation this hour, but I understand why to some listeners' ears it is. I was talking to Dr. Pedro Carroll before the program began about the fact that PBS NewsHour reported after the November election, there was a surge in a number of states led by the Coalition for Divorce Reform and Beverly Willett, who wants to see the repeal of no-fault divorce laws. And she wants to see that state by state. It's typically a state issue. Although, as PBS NewsHour reported in 2021, then-Senator J.D. Vance lamented that divorce is, quote, too easily accessible. He says, quote, we've run this experiment in real time, and what we have is a lot of very, very real family dysfunction that's making our kids unhappy. And he says, people should not be able to shift spouses like they change their underwear, end quote. So there's a lot of thought that the new administration could pursue, and I don't know how you do it federally, but who knows? There's a lot of thought that there could be renewed emphasis on how accessible divorce is as an option for couples in the future in this country. And I want to ask you if your film, have you felt it pulled into the culture war? Have you felt it pulled into a politicized stream?
I think there is some of that going on. We've certainly felt it in some of social media. You know, the kind of messages I get have been probably like Dr. Carroll's, very, very positive people reacting and relating to the movie, wishing they'd seen something like this when they were young and their parents were going through it. But there has certainly been a certain amount of attack and negativity towards the movie, normalizing divorce, that sort of thing. It's so funny to me that this is still an issue when, you know, in family films, we've normalized the killing or the death of a parent and a kid going forward without a father, like, you know, How to Train Your Dragon 2, spoiler alert, you know, but, yeah. Lion King, and like, that's okay. But, you know, both parents still being alive yet not together is worse to some groups. So it's been very interesting. You know, we did do a few screenings very early on when the movie was still in progress to gauge how people's appetite was for a story with this at its core. And it was largely positive, but there will always be those who just don't feel that this is ever an option for a family.
Well, we'll ask Dr. Pedro Carroll about that coming up, but let me rewind a little bit and say, how did you get involved on a film like this? How did this happen, Joanne?
Oh, my great serendipitous fortune. Back in, I think it was 2019, one of the producers at that time read my book, Putting Children First, saw a video clip of me on YouTube talking about resilience and helping families through changes in the best ways possible, and invited me to be a psychological consultant on this movie that they were developing called Spellbound. Well, that was the beginning of what I will describe as one of the best experiences I've ever had professionally, because I have such enormous respect for the fact that they've taken on a topic that's so important. And just as you've described, you know, not uniformly applauded. And yet, the way they've done it with such care, such sensitivity and authenticity to the our main character, Elian's deep feelings. And it's also filled with messages of resilience and love and hope and how you can come through challenging times really with remarkable positive outcomes. So I was so fortunate to be asked to be a part of this from the outset.
By the way, we mentioned Kidman and Javier Bardem and Nathan Lane and John Lithgow. Shout out to the amazing Rachel Zegler, who's Elian.
Yes.
She's really great. Really. Yes. I mean, if that's not a name you know, you really should. So you get this invitation, but is it a case, Joanne, where they're saying literally like, here's a scene, we're going to email you a script, or we're going to send you the whole film, what do you think? Or how do you see certain character? I mean, how did that process work?
Yeah, well, I went out to L.A. initially to Skydance and met the amazing director, Vicki Jensen, and the whole crew, and did a presentation about what children and youth and families go through with these changes. And again, I'm so respectful of the fact that they were all very interested in the research. What does research tell us about? What are the risks that are posed for children? What are the things that might make life harder for them? But also, what are those really important protective factors that we know from volumes of research that really help children come through family changes with the best possible outcomes? And they really wanted to incorporate that into this movie.
Were there moments where you were literally looking at a scene and saying, this is really close, but this character is maybe should say this instead of that? Or, I mean, are you massaging parts of it like that?
Well, we had the opportunity to, I would screen portions, and then we had the opportunity to meet together on Zoom. Mm-hmm. And we'd talk through my perceptions, sharing more about the research, what I know from 40 years of experience working with children and families, what they go through. And again, I'm so respectful of how open they all were to really incorporating a true story. And it's not easy, you know, to tell such a meaningful story and have it be engaging and fun and humorous and set it to music, and it's very challenging.
Can you pass your book across the table to me? Because for our viewers on WXXI News' YouTube channel, I think I'll try to hold it up high enough here so we can see it. The book that Joanne wrote, when did you write this, by the way?
2010.
So it's 15 years old now. I mean, this has become a biblical piece of literature for couples and families in many cases. I've read it myself. It's called Putting Children First, Proven Parenting Strategies for Helping Children Thrive Through Divorce. And that's the reason that Dr. Pedro Carroll, who is a Rochesterian is a national figure. So, you know, Joanne's been on the program a number of times over the years talking about various themes related to the themes in this book. But that's why this guest who you're a local, we're going to claim you as a Rochesterian. But I mean, this book has gone far and wide, hasn't it?
It has, yeah. It's been in many languages. And I will say, you know, that I think this movie is very much about love. It's why I'm so puzzled at times.
Do you want to contest a little bit of the idea? I view it as a straw man to say that, well, Dr. Pedro Carroll obviously endorses, you know, divorce as the solution. Do you want to talk a little bit more about some of the criticism that I read and that you'll see occasionally in some of these forums about that?
I do, because here's the thing. I believe in science. I believe in good research. And I also know from my own personal experience, you know, when I married my husband, I got 4 bonus children. And I know the experience of how what we do, how we handle family changes makes such a difference. And we know from research that when children are in situations of a lot of conflict, or it's a relationship between parents that has just really grown apart. Everything we know is that when parents can handle the separation, contain their conflict, keep their children out of the middle, and really maintain healthy parenting and healthy parent-child relationships, the research shows children are better off than living in a situation where there is ongoing conflict and a lack of love. So I'm so troubled by a movement that might begin to address going backwards with no-fault divorce, because one of the things we know about fault-based divorce is it can really foment more conflict between parents, pit parents against each other in a battle over the child. It's not the outcome we want for children and families. So I see this movie is in many ways, it's about love and resilience and how you can come through big changes with, you know, that message of, you know, not all families grow in one straight line, you know.
And I want to say again, we're going to get back to the film in a second. I mean, it's funny. I mean, it's really lovely
in so many ways.
Yeah, it's really good. I mean, you can't have like Nathan Lane and John Lithgow and all these characters not be. It's great. But before we get back to the film, just to kind of put a fine point on what Dr. Pedro Carroll was talking about, this movement, I'll credit our colleagues at PBS NewsHour for a little more of their reporting on what's happening in a number of states. In January, Oklahoma Republican Senator Dusty Devers introduced legislation that would have removed married couples from filing, prevented married couples from filing for divorce on the grounds of incompatibility. Devers backed the bill after writing a piece declaring that no-fault divorce is an abolition of marital obligation, his words. South Carolina, 2 Republican lawmakers in 2023 filed a bill that would have required both spouses to file for a no-fault divorce application rather than just one spouse. And in South Dakota, a Republican lawmaker has attempted to remove irreconcilable differences as grounds for divorce in that state. So, again, Dr. Pedro Carroll, I think those lawmakers would say, hey, there's times where there's violence, there's really, really deep structural reasons, but no fault just pulls family apart and hurts kids. That's what they're saying in these states that are part of this movement. What do you say to them?
Well, I think we know that we do have data, and we know that before no fault, that there was more ongoing, protracted litigation where children were often caught in the middle, asked to choose, you know, which parent, in one way or another, which parent they wanted to live with. And we know that ongoing conflict between parents is like a toxic for children's development, a toxin. So When we can help parents begin to make parenting decisions together respectfully and be able to reduce conflict and preserve quality parenting in relationships with both parents, those are the most powerful predictors of children's healthy adjustment and resilience over time.
This film, to me, presents a family that has parents who have been struggling. And the solution, contrary to some of the reviews I read, is not a quick one. I understand at the end of the film, to some viewers, it might feel quick. But anybody who has been through a long sort of structural strife, especially when kids are involved, understands that, at least I think, would understand that this is not a story of quick, pull the fastest lever you can, separate the marriage. It was a, we got to a point where we feel cursed. I mean, they literally became monsters and had to work their way to just being able to communicate with one another. At one point, I was like, are we sure Javier Bardem and Nicole Kidman are voice actors in this film? I like, when are we going to get their voice? And then we start to get them in dribs and drabs. And then, of course, we get a lot more of them. But they're monsters at the start. They're just grunting at each other. I didn't view it as a quick decision. I've never known you to endorse the idea of a quick, easy solution to any problem, let alone divorce, Joanne.
Oh, certainly not. In fact, one of the things in my therapy practice, I always encourage parents to address if they have issues early on in their relationship and to see if there are ways that they can work things out. And ultimately, you know, when parents know that they've really taken the time to give that decision the thought and care that it deserves, ultimately, everyone comes through those changes better and with that sense of, okay, we may be making the decision to live apart, but the kind of love we have for our child or children is that forever kind of love. You're always, always parents, no matter what.
Did you ask for a singing role in this movie, Joanne? Did you tell Vicky, come on, I think I can do this? No?
Vicky, I would have loved that. Cause
you didn't want to elbow your way
I
into the cast
I love the music.
There?
I love everything about this.
It's a great soundtrack. Vicky Jensen, director of Spellbound, is on the line with us. How does a film like this come together with the music part of it? Who's involved there?
Well, as early on as we did try to bring music in really early to help sculpt the story, because along with working with Dr. Carroll on sculpting the journey, the emotional journey of the family, we wanted the story told with music, incorporating the songs to help the story move forward. We needed the expertise of Alan Menken and lyricist Glenn Slater and our music producer, Chris Montan, and all three have a long history together. And it was really a wonderful experience. We did a music retreat early on to, you know, pitch through our story and talk about possible song moments, the tone of the music, how it could reflect Elian's feelings at the time. Because there's an old saying on Broadway, you know, if your feelings are too big to speak, you sing. So. Very, very big feelings in the story. And initially, she doesn't understand what's going on, as a lot of kids don't. Mm-hmm. And when it hits her at the end, she gets to this amazing moment to really vent how hurt and how betrayed she feels. It's almost like the villain song, because really we don't have a physical or a embodied villain, because that was sort of outside of the story, and it was really about the dynamics within the family and that the struggle with those big, strong, angry feelings is, you know, we didn't want to vilify the anger or the sense of justified, you know, anger, but when one gives into it, as the parents did, as they get caught up with their own animosity to each other, that they forget their child. That's where the problem is. And warning her, too, that, yes, you have every reason to express your anger and feeling left behind, but getting lost in it would be the danger to her. And so that was for us where the problem was and the villainy would have been.
Yeah. I just want to say to listeners who, you know, I mean, everyone's going to have a slightly different take on a piece of art, which is what this is. And for listeners who might decide to watch Spellbound, and maybe you do feel critical of some of the themes, that's okay. You can have those feelings. I mean, I don't want to shut down opinions. Mm-hmm. I will say, though, I share Joanne's kind of confusion about some of the reviews that were hinting at that, well, this was quick, it was easy. I see the journey, this adventurous film. This adventurous film has a lot of danger. There's quicksand and there's things that are real risk for the parents, the king and the queen, for Elian. And they have to survive all of that just to get to a point.
All symbolic. That's the thing about mythology and fairy tales.
Yeah.
And they're not always evident the first time you hear a story or the first time you watch it, but they're not just, you know, arbitrary adventures to go through.
Absolutely. I mean, like anybody who has been through a divorce and feels like, you know, we're doing pretty well, can probably tell you that there were pitfalls, that there were real risks, that there were ways things could have got off track, maybe did for a while. And that's what you're seeing here. You're not seeing like this easy Candyland road. Like it's literally the dark forest that's named twice or whatever Nathan Lane's the Oracle's line. I love that line. A forest so dark that it'd be named twice. I thought it was clear. I thought the storytelling was very clear in that way. And it was combined with a lot of big laughs too and great characters. Did you have any voice actors who hesitated based on any of the themes, Vicky? I mean, you want to get Nathan Lane and John Lithgow and Javier Bardem. Did anybody say, I don't know, based on the theme here?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Everybody was in. They understood the story. They understood what it was trying to do and why it was different and important and emotional. So yeah, no, everybody was in from the beginning. They knew it would be tricky. You know, we all did. It's not an easy thing to do. And you know, these kind of things, they don't maybe land for everybody. You know, just as these important issues you were talking about earlier, there's so many strong opinions about it. So we were just trying to deal with it from one family's perspective in a way that would feel universal. Because to me, these kind of alienations between child and parents, you know, it's there, you know, even if the subject matter wasn't about the family splitting up. So I felt like these themes of pulling apart and coming back together in a new way applied to a lot of situations in families.
I agree 100% on that. I think of this movie as really embedding universal emotions for anyone who's human, right? Because the truth is, we've all had times, if you're with someone you love, you're with someone you love, and wittingly or unwittingly, you do something hurtful. There are a whole set of emotions that go along with that. There's a whole of many different parts of ourselves that get stirred up when we're about to experience a loss, or we want to go back to an earlier time when things seemed easier. And you know, I one of the things I respect so much about this movie is it shows the parents, even though they've been monsters, when they come out, when they're able to see and reflect on their behavior, they do repair work, right? Which we all need to do, whether it's in our relationship as a couple or a family or a parent and child. When we've hurt someone, how important it is to do what I refer to as the art of a sincere apology and look for ways to repair that disconnect or that hurt in the relationship. And that's what the parents do here. When Elian is angry, she's really grieving that things aren't going the way she's hoping. And the parents not only use their words to to do that repair work, to say how sorry they were. They forgot to put her first. But they also back it up with their behaviors. You know, she had a pretty miserable birthday that first round when her parents were monsters. But then we see, oh, this is a true spoiler alert. Sorry about this.
We have spoiler alerted this hour as best we can. We're not telling you don't see it. We're telling you it's still very much worth seeing, but go ahead.
But I love the ending because the parents are doing that work to show their love for her in their behaviors. You know, love is a verb. I think love is an action verb. And the parents have come together, and she's experiencing the love of both of them, supporting her as she's turning 16. And that feeling of, okay, maybe this wasn't the way I envisioned things working out, but the truth is that we all go through hard things in life, and things don't always go the way we might hope or envision. And it's true for every single family. I don't think this movie is just about families who experience a separation.
And I want to ask one other question about how we view these themes when kids are the viewers. So I want to wrap in an email from Tim, who says, for kids whose parents are still together, might this film convince kids to root for divorce if their parents end up in an argument? I mean, I don't think it's... I'll let Joanne and Vicky talk to that. Dr. Pedro Carroll, you want to start with that?
Sure. One of the things I'm finding is this film really opens a door for parents, for all of us as parents with children, to communicate about big feelings, times when you're angry, how do you handle conflict. And it's I'm hearing from so many parents, even in different countries, how helpful it is to have the movie as a catalyst for these conversations. It's an opportunity if a child says, well, if the two of you are arguing, does that mean you're going to get a divorce? It's a great opportunity to have a conversation about healthy ways of handling conflict. That no, it doesn't mean that we're not gonna stay married. It means that right now we're having some big feelings, some pretty big disagreements about things. But you know what? We're gonna problem solve this. We'll figure it out. And it's an example of how to model dealing with conflict in healthy ways.
Yeah, Tim wants to know, Vicky, if this film could have kids rooting for divorce.
I don't see how they would, because, you know, it's a difficult journey. It's a horrible truth that lands on Ellian when the parents, first reveal to her what they remember, you know, in the specifics of the story after remembering their past. You know, we use the spell just as an allegory for it all. She is not happy. This is not easy. This whole journey hasn't been easy. The whole time that she was living with two parents acting like monsters, none of this was easy. And all she wished for was for it to be exactly the way it was before, which isn't possible. And so the point of the story is that there is a way forward if each of the parents treat their child or remember who she is to them, you know, with love and understanding and inclusion. They had completely left her out of the decision, out of their problems. These are probably people who closed the door as they, you know, screamed and yelled. These are people who said, leave us alone, we'll figure it out, you know. And they even say that at the end, it's the last thing that they need to do before they become human again is to be honest with her, include her, and make her understand that they will always love her no matter what happens between the two of them. So I don't see how anyone would root for this as a solution. It's not an easy journey at all.
Well, I'm thinking of the way that we sometimes think we have to really be careful with messaging for kids, and we don't hold that same standard for shows that are expressly for adults. And I mentioned recently that I'm rewatching Ted Lasso now.
Love it.
And it's such a great show. And yet Ted Lasso is a show that deals with a very painful divorce between two people who clearly love each other. Mm-hmm. And Ted's struggling to accept it, but also gracefully give his ex space and parent a young child. And did you see all the headlines about Ted Lasso normalizes divorce? Ted Lasso's
no.
bad. So here are the headlines I see. Ted Lasso shows therapy is cool. What Ted Lasso can teach us about relationships, marriage, and divorce. The Ted Lasso Relationship Guide Divorce Section. These are all headlines about the Ted Lasso divorce story. They're not saying, how come this is, why is this a theme? This is bad. This is a bad theme. They're saying if you show it in a loving way that's realistic but still sort of maybe optimistic, that can have a positive effect. Meanwhile, you get a feature film for families and kids and you go, whoa, we're talking about divorce here. I just feels a little like a double standard, Vicki, in the idea of, you know, kids maybe struggling to handle certain themes.
Yeah, I know. I'm just baffled, honestly. You know, kids can handle it with the aid of their parents. They need to be talking. You know, the parents need to be talking to them.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. You know, I think so much about resilience and what does that really mean? And you know, it's a term that gets bandied about sometimes, and people might say, well, they're kids, they're resilient. Well, you know, resilience happens as a result of the parents taking responsibility for giving children some information, communicating about what's happening, being able to handle conflict in healthy ways. And again, I go back to, Vicki, I know that, you know, there were a lot of challenges in making this movie. Not for nothing, but, you know, working your way through COVID and a writer's strike and times when it was really hard to figure out how to preserve this as a very meaningful story mm-hmm. with very real emotions, not sugarcoating it and sanitizing it, and having it be real, authentic, meaningful, fun, engaging, and, you know, ideally entertaining. What a tall order, and how well you really led the whole team through that whole process.
Well, animation, we always say, is a team sport. It takes a lot of people, a lot of, you know, if you think raising a child takes a village, try making an animated movie. It's a lot of voices involved. We have the benefit of a lot of early screenings done, you know, before the movie's even animated. Just we cut our storyboards together with music that, you know, we find if we haven't got it already, trying to, you know, see, does it feel like a movie? Are these ideas coming across? Where is it too long? Is this funny enough? You know, and ultimately it is a real balance between, you know, being really true to the difficult journey and yet creating a piece of entertainment. So it's not easy. If it was easy, everyone would be doing it.
After we take this very late only break of the hour, I've got some more feedback for our guests as we talk about this film, Spellbound, which is streaming now. And we're talking to Vicki Jensen, the director of Spellbound. Dr. Joanne Pedro-Carroll is a clinical psychologist and author, speaker, and was a consultant on the movie. And we're coming right back to your feedback on the other side. Coming up in our second hour, a new PBS documentary explores 150 years of one of the nation's most celebrated centers for art and culture. And it's a place that's just two and a half hours from Rochester. We're talking about the Chautauqua Institution, known for its speakers it brings in, its commitment to diversity of thought, the artists, the performances, the music, the culture, and more. 150 years of Chautauqua, next hour. This is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Charlie says, Evan, I have lived all of this. My ex-wife and I are highly educated, and we threw everything we had toward our two kids. Ballet, skiing, music lessons, art lessons, karate, trips, etc. However, we didn't take care of our own relationship, and it got bad the last 3 or 4 years. Our youngest went to college, and that was the end. We used mediation and therapy. Everyone received help. Everyone has moved on. My kids are both happily married. I remarried. My ex is in a solid relationship. Was it easy? Heck no, but it was the right thing to do. That's from Charlie. So I just did a little snapshot of Charlie's life there, but you hear a lot of stories like that, Joanne?
Oh, first of all, Charlie, hats off to you. Huge. I respect so much all of the work and effort and honestly dedication that it sounds like you and your children's mom put into how you've handled the changes in your family, but also the quality of life that you've created for yourselves and your children moving forward. I hope you feel an enormous sense of pride and accomplishment, because I know it's not easy. It does take dedication. And really what you've taught your children is it's a forever kind of love.
Thank you, Charlie, for that email. Alex wants to know if this film is going to be at the Little Theater. I think it's just streaming. Well, let me ask Vicki. I mean, it's a totally different world from when your career started, I'm sure. I mean, everything is streaming now.
Yes.
So you want to tell people, first of all, where to see Spellbound, and then I want to talk to you a little bit about how you see this demand to stream everything. But first of all, where is the movie watchable?
You can watch Spellbound on Netflix.
And how do you feel about that? How do you feel about, sometimes in theater, sometimes straight to streaming? I want to be able to watch everything at home. A lot's changed, especially since the pandemic. How are you feeling about that?
Yeah, it really has. You know, when I started the movie, this wasn't a thing of just, well, there was some straight to streaming movies, but certainly not in feature animation. The pandemic changed everything, as we all know. It just didn't seem like anyone would be returning to theaters. And that, again, is also evolving. There were a lot of films that did incredibly well in theaters, and certainly animation. We all hope for a return to that, because that's what, for me, that's where my heart lies. There's nothing like watching a movie and a shared experience with an audience in a huge darkened room and hearing the laughter and the sniffles around you, the sniffles not being COVID, but the sniffles being emotional. And there really isn't anything like it, especially for a filmmaker, streaming can be such a solitary experience. And sometimes I feel that's reflected in reviews, that you don't understand quite how it's landing around you. You know, there's an old story, I divert here, but there's an old joke in Hollywood that a writer has sent a script in and hasn't heard anything back from the studio, and calls, Monday morning and reaches a young executive who says, well, nobody's in yet, so I don't know what I think. And that can happen when you're watching something, all by yourself on your laptop. But I do hope for ultimately, for people to have the choice to see a movie in a theater, and then, like it was before, you'd see it in streaming afterwards. I'm not ungrateful. We reached many, many eyeballs on Netflix. And people have such wonderful home theaters. They can see all of the detail on their big, their big screens. But I'm really hoping that in the future we can present these movies, in a theater.
Yeah, and Vicki, maybe the parallel concern that at least I, who's not working in the industry, that I have for the industry, the movie industry, it's the idea that people don't want to leave their house for anything. And maybe streaming is okay. Maybe we still reach a lot of audiences, but the experience is different. But then there's a separate question of the effects of technology. I was listening to a conversation with an Australian futurist who was brilliant the other day, and she was saying, it won't be long before studios really start having more of an option to say, well, yeah, we've got the big names, but the rest of the cast, we can do AI. We can do AI with so much more. We don't need to pay people. That maybe what we preserve are the big name stars only, and everybody else is out of work. I mean, do you hear that coming? Does that feel like that's coming? Does that feel like that's even desirable?
I actually have not heard that that's coming.
Okay.
It may be something that might be more true in the TV world, where budgets can be very tight, but you know, people are tightening their belt everywhere. Yeah, I haven't seen that. That's not the biggest expenditure of money on you know, secondary actors. Animation is an expensive form of filmmaking. It takes a lot of people, tremendous amount of specialized talent. So if anything, you know, it would be, it could be entering that world to help, you know, make the pipeline move more efficiently, or find a way to make difficult shots more, you know, easier to accomplish. But as far as acting, no, it's not really part of a conversation I've ever heard.
Well, and then the other part with animation that I'm curious to get your take on, I was just talking to my son this morning about, we're talking about AI, and, you know, I'm a curmudgeon about AI. And I basically, and he's finishing a project, and I was like, listen, you don't have ChatGPT, neither do I, but eventually it's going to be everywhere. And if you ever use AI to finish a paper or to what, like, I, like, it, we're going to have real problems. Like, just no, it's like, you have to understand how sensitive this tool is and how easy it is to have it write a poem for you, have it write a story for you. There is a, and I played for him the Randy Travis quote unquote song. Randy Travis unfortunately lost his ability to sing more than a decade ago, and that's a tragic thing. But his producers uploaded 30 years of his music into an AI program, and it wrote and created and used his, you listen to the song, it's out there, and it sounds like Randy Travis, and you know, it's not. And his family loves it. That's a beautiful thing for them. But I don't want to normalize the idea that we don't actually need humans behind the creation anymore. And I don't know if we'll get to the point with an animated film where I'll say, hey, I have this idea for this adventure in a kingdom. And AI, can you write me a script, or can you show me what it would look like? And then I go, oh, that's good enough. Let's put it out there. I don't want that to happen. I want us to hold the line and have human beings doing the work. What do you think?
I totally agree. Also, you know, from my understanding of how it works, it's grabbing from material that's already out there. So you're getting a retread, in my opinion. You're not getting something fresh and groundbreaking and eye-opening and based on someone's unique experience. And that's what I think we will ultimately miss. You know, we'll be feeling little pieces of it are all so familiar from things that already exist.
I was like, you were in the car with my son and me this morning because we were talking about, like, well, what could stop this? And he's kind of a geek about law classes. He loves, you know, like, thinking about, he's doing these debate and law classes. And we talked about how lawyers will have a lot to say about this, because technically a quote-unquote new AI creation is amalgamated from probably untraceable sources of existing material. And how do the artists know that they're not cribbing off your work already? So, you know.
Like what happened in music, you know, a couple decades back when people were sampling.
Yeah.
It was easier to recognize the pieces, and then it led to a lot of, you know, legal discussion issues, you know, cases. And here, yeah, you're right. It's hard to recognize where it's coming from, but it's coming from somewhere that's already, it was already created.
Well, the nice thing about Spellbound is it is an entirely human creation. I mean, it's an animated film created by these, not only Vicki Jensen, but this team of people. As she said, it's a whole village, along with some big names from Hollywood who put their voices into this film. It is very funny. It is visually delightful. And it's so cool that Dr. Joanne Pedro Carroll of Rochester has consulted on this film. So as we get ready to wrap here, what do you want to leave with listeners as they think about, do I want to spend an hour and 50 minutes on this film? Like, should I have my kids watch this? Will it spark conversations? Am I ready for those? What would you tell listeners?
I would say always know that no matter what you're going through, every family goes through hard times. Every single one of us goes through challenging times. And isn't it a wonderful opportunity to see a movie that can show us, oh yeah, and we have really big feelings sometimes when we're going through this hard stuff. And what a great chance for parents to talk with their kids, to validate the big feelings that they have about so many things. And, you know, we know from neuroscience, putting our feelings into words, it's often referred to as name it to tame it, But being able to talk things through, we know, actually changes the activity in the brain, reduces anxiety, results in more understanding, empathy, and a deeper connection between parents and kids. So, wow, what a good thing to have as an opportunity.
And Vicki, what do you want to leave with listeners about 30 seconds as they think about, I'm going to queue up Spellbound for tonight.
I of course I would recommend that folks watch it. You know, I think it's not just the message and the theme, but I think it's a really fun watch. If you're a fan of the music of Alan Menken, you know, I think that you'll really enjoy it. There's a great amount of fun in it. And again, to you know, agree with Dr. Carroll, you know, this is a safe place to experience big feelings. I remember as a kid watching Bambi and, you know, feeling that huge sense of loss. Mm-hmm. And where else but the safety of fairy tales and movies that we can experience?
Well, Vicki Jensen is the director of Spellbound. You are generous with your time. Vicki Jensen is not just the director of Spellbound. I mean, her resume is Shrek, it's Shark Tale. I mean, it's a long resume, and it's great to have you here on Western New York Public Media. It's awesome talking to you. Congratulations on this project, and thank you for making the time, Vicki.
Thank you.
Dr. Joanne Pedro-Carroll, congratulations on your consultation on this film. It's a triumph. It's great talking to you. Thank you for being here.
Always a pleasure to be here. You know I'm a big fan.
Oh.
WXXI.
Oh, we're all fans of Dr. Pedro-Carroll. We got to stop this mutual admiration society. More connections coming up.